As small church as we are so blessed to have godly men who can step in when Pastor Dan is on vacation or filling in. And one of those men is our newest elder, which would be Elder Mike Abels, who I'm proud to introduce right now.
I'm just going to back this up so that the microphone doesn't go up my nose. Well, good morning. This is God's word from the book of Matthew, chapter 12, verses 33 through 37. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For the tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you speak good when you are evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good person, out of his good treasure, brings forth good, and the evil person, out of his evil treasure, brings forth evil. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Let us pray. Lord, bless the reading of your word, and may my mouth speak out your truth. Please work in our hearts, that we may be a reflection of you, our true Father. Amen. Please be seated. If anyone cares about such things, the passage I'm reading from is the same that your bulletin says I would. However, the title of the sermon is not the same. The title of the sermon is Our Treasure, rather than Fruit Delivery. This is, I think, my fifth time preaching from this pulpit. And I know a couple of my sermons have gone a bit longer than some of you might like. I don't want you to worry. I promise that I will try to be done today before the sun sets. Have any of you given much thought to lead? Lead's a metal you're probably familiar with. It's heavy. It's a soft metal. You can dent it with your fingernail. It's naturally silver-colored with a hint of blue, but it's generally rather unremarkable-looking because it tarnishes quickly in the air, giving it a dull, dark, flat, gray look. Although we know it to be a poison, it has several uses. It's found in things varying from bullets to batteries, and is even woven into specialized suits to protect from radiation. You wear a small protective lead chest covering every time you get an X-ray at the dentist's office. This isn't meant to be a chemistry lecture, but I'll share one more property of lead with you this morning. Lead is common. Lead is cheap. Lead is easy to get your hands on. Lead certainly has its uses, but would you rather own lead or gold? Gold shares some of lead's properties. Gold is relatively soft and ductile. Like lead, it's heavy, but we all know the difference, don't we? Unlike lead, gold doesn't easily tarnish. Gold shines with a beauty and luster. That's why we use it in jewelry. Like lead, there are many uses for gold, including electronics and medicine. But gold is not cheap. Gold is not common. Gold is rare, and gold is precious. I checked prices on Friday just so that I could tell you today. For $1,599, I can buy a pallet of lead. That is 1,000 pounds for about $1,600. For the same amount of money, I can purchase 1.2 ounces of gold. Let me say that again, 1.2 ounces. Why do I bring this up? Rest assured, I have no interest in giving you financial advice. I know better than to think myself qualified for that. Rather, I want to fix in your mind the idea of treasure and value. Hold on to that thought for me, because we will come back to it. In our passage in Matthew, Jesus is talking to the Pharisees. We've already been through the parallel passage in Pastor Dan's series. Jesus has just cast a demon out of a man who was blind and mute, and the Pharisees accused him of doing it by the power of the devil. It was an accusation that was ridiculous, but even more importantly, it was an accusation that was blasphemous. It was ridiculous because it implies that the devil is out fighting himself, casting out demons and thereby tearing down his own house. It would be as if the lieutenant on the battlefield saw the enemy coming. He then decides, rather than attacking, rather than defending, rather than retreating, he should shoot his own men. No, the charge that the devil would use his power to cast out demons is absolute, utter, nonsensical foolishness. But it was blasphemous because they accused the Son of God of very God, the second person of the Trinity, of doing Satan's work. Let that sink in for a moment. They had every reason and opportunity to know better. Here was Jesus tearing down the strongholds of the devil. Here was the promised Messiah fulfilling so many prophecies that the Pharisees knew so very well. Here was our Lord proving that, as promised, he was about to crush the head of that crafty serpent of old. And here stood the Pharisees, accusing God himself of being an agent of Satan. After this false, ridiculous accusation, Jesus points out and proves how very foolish the charge is. He then goes on and speaks about blasphemy. He turns the tables on the Pharisees, who, in the earshot of all, had charged him of being evil. Jesus, in the earshot of all who would hear, including us, proceeds to teach about trees and fruits, about good and bad treasures, about the heart and words. This passage speaks to everyone in all times, as all of God's word does, but I think that it has something special to say to us in our culture. We live in a culture of individualism and self-determination. Free will and self-identification are the words of the day. It seems every year something new is found that someone can identify as. I found a video on YouTube last week of someone explaining, in all seriousness, that she truly believes herself to be a house cat trapped in a human body. I sometimes wonder how long it will be before someone says, "Please, cook me in butter. I am a Brussels sprout." Unfortunately, for our culture, free will just doesn't do what we would like it to do. We like to think that our words come from nowhere. We make them up as we go along, We say what we think, we speak our mind, or we speak without thinking. We may plan what we're going to say, or we may just let the words fall out of our mouth. We say what we want to say. Well, on this, our culture is right. We say exactly what we want to say. That's Jesus' point. We say and do what we want. The catch is, we can only say and do what we want. We can't do anything else. Our words and actions reveal exactly who we are because our free will is directly connected with our hearts. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For the tree is known by its fruit. Jesus reminds us of one of the fundamental ways God created this world that we live in. Way back in Genesis, he created the plants and animals to reproduce after their own kind. You want an apple? Just try getting one from a rose bush. See what happens. Coconuts don't come from plum trees. If I were a betting man, which I'm not, but if I were, I'd be willing to wager good money that a kangaroo never once gave birth to a duck-billed platypus. It just doesn't happen. Doesn't happen because a tree isn't an apple tree because it produces apples. Rather, a tree produces apples because it is an apple tree. The nature of the thing is revealed in its fruit. By the same token, just as the apple shows what kind of tree it comes from, what and who we are is revealed in our words and our actions. We are not made liars because we lie. We lie because deep in our hearts, we are liars. We're not made gossips by gossiping. We gossip because deep in our inner being, we are gossips. Disobeying is not what makes us disobedient. Murder is not what makes us murderers. Boasting is not what makes us boastful. And acting foolish is not what makes us fools. We can claim to be cats or artichokes, but it is only our hearts revealing our foolishness and our rebellion against what our Creator made us to be. That, ladies and gentlemen, is what free will is. It is us freely revealing what we truly are in our innermost hearts. And, as always, our Lord is first and foremost concerned with our hearts. Why did the Pharisees fall into blasphemy? The answer is that they did not. They charged in. All engines on full, they accused God of evil because blasphemers is what they were. They may have known Scripture well, but they did not know the God of Scripture at all. Jesus calls them on it. "You brood of vipers," he says, "how can you speak good when you are evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." It was a scathing thing to say to those who had set themselves up as the religious leaders of Israel. It was scandalous, and it was true. Jesus goes on, "The good person out of his good treasure brings forth good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure brings forth evil." Perhaps here is where we should stop and ask ourselves, what treasure is in our own hearts? What do we have to bring forth? Well, God tells us through the Apostle Paul what we are like without Christ in his letter to the Romans. It's not pretty. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. That's us. That's you. That's me. And that is not a comprehensive list. It is not a pretty picture. Paul later writes, quoting the 14th Psalm, "None is righteous, no, not one. No one understands. No one seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one." So what treasure is in our hearts? What fruit have we grown that we can deliver up and serve to others? We cannot give what we do not have. Do we have good trees producing delicious figs or apples or pineapples? Do we have a treasure of gold? Or in truth, do we have trees which produce poisonous fruits of baneberry and firethorn? Eat those while lost in the wilderness, and you will die. Do we have a treasure of lead? Don't be too hard on the Pharisees. They are us, apart from Christ. Like them, we have stored up a treasure of either self-righteousness or licentiousness, a well-loved hoard of poison fruit, a great deep chest filled with the treasure of blasphemy. Do we claim to be that which we are not? If so, it is because we follow the father of lies and the truth is not in us. It is because, like him, we rebel against God and do not wish to be that which we were created to be. Take heed, the claim of the Pharisees to be righteous when they were not righteous is at its root not substantially different than claiming to be a Brussels sprout. It is just another false claim to be what you are not, and just as easily leads to blasphemy. So be on guard, because self-righteousness comes far too easily to Christians. We are broken. We are shattered images. Like King David, we need to cry out to God from the depths of our souls, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." This is not to say that as believers we have not already been given new hearts. But it is to say that we still harbor sin in our hearts. A life following Christ is a life of repentance. We need new hearts. We need renewal. Where do these new hearts come from? I hope that we all know. A new heart comes from Christ, and from Christ alone. It is the Holy Spirit sent by Christ who indwells us. He uproots our old tangled forest of bad trees and plants a new orchard of good trees, producing good fruits. He turns our hearts of stone into hearts of flesh. Christ takes our evil treasure upon himself and gives us a new and good treasure, something of far greater worth than gold. Because of the Lord's sanctifying work in our hearts, we have something good for the hand of our will to reach in and bring forth. And what do we now have to bring forth? There are many who would answer that question morally. Some would simply say, well, now we can do good. That's true, but it's a woefully incomplete answer. Those who are more astute might look at passages like 1 Corinthians 13 and say, we have faith, hope, and love. They're right, but they too fall short. If that is all they say, it becomes simple moralizing. We have something far greater. We have something far more helpful. Indeed, we have something infinitely more powerful. We have the person of Jesus Christ. You find yourself falling back on your sin? Reach for the new treasure of Christ. He is the great treasure of our hearts. He is the pearl of great price. When those in the church or those in the world look to our words and our actions to find out who we are, it is Christ we must show them. This is part of what it means to be an image bearer of God. We are not our own. Without Christ, we belong to the Father of lies. In Christ, we belong to the Father of light. This is why Paul says to live is Christ. For their blasphemous words, Christ calls the Pharisees a brood of vipers. They had venom dripping from their lips. They spread forth venomous words meant to destroy the soul, corrupted words from corrupted hearts. Do you want words that heal the soul? Do you want pure words? Psalm 12:6 tells us, the words of the Lord are pure words, like silver refined in a furnace on the ground, purified seven times. Learn to speak forth God's word. Learn to preach it to yourself. We need Christ's gospel every day and every moment. We should thirst for Christ and his word. If you don't know how to preach it to yourself, or you find yourself too discouraged to do so, seek out a brother or sister to preach the word to you. Learn to use it to admonish, encourage, and build up your brothers and sisters in the church. We are called to bear one another's burdens. How can we hope to do this without the encouragement of the word? With worldly wisdom? With pop psychology? You might find a few gems of good advice in those here and there, but no. Only God's word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Learn to preach it to the lost, for it is in his word that Christ is found. His word is powerful and mighty to save. It is their only hope. Do not deny the lost their only hope. Let Christ be the great treasure of your hearts. Draw that treasure out. Let the word of God be on your lips. And therefore, let Christ be on your lips. He alone is glorious and worthy of praise. Show him forth. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that you have placed your Holy Spirit within us. Thank you for our new hearts. Teach us to treasure you as we ought to. As we look to you, we pray that you would make us more like you. And we pray knowing that you've promised us this very thing. May we show forth your image in our words and deeds to one another and to a lost and dying world. May you be glorified in our hearts and lives. In Christ's holy name we pray. Amen.